Did you know that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day? But don't take my word for it. Actually, you should take my word for it. And here's what you need to do. You need to go to ZipRecruiter.com/Zach. That's www.ZipRecruiter.com/Zach to learn more there about recruiting the best people for your business. The fastest, best people fast. You know that fast, good, cheap pyramid? Well, this is doing it all. This is fast, good, and yeah, you got to check out the pricing online. That's kind of above my pay grade, but ZipRecruiter, check it out. Too many ads. Here we go.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Episode 70 with Robin Ottolini. Actually, very exciting episode. First episode of the Zach Kuhn Show that we have ever recorded in person. We've been doing everything over Zoom up until episode 70. We did this in person. Also, Robin's first trip to Nashville as a signed artist. Big deal. Obviously, she is from Canada, and she got signed to Warner during the pandemic. Nobody had any idea who she was, basically. And now she's on her way to become a big star. And we caught her on her very first trip to Nashville, which I think is a little monumental. And, you know, some cool things about Robin. First of all, she writes all of her own music. No outside cuts here with Robin. And she's got a new song, Tell You Everything, which is out now. It actually came out a couple weeks ago. But this is a really fun song. Very unique. Her sound is very unique compared to what other country artists are doing. There's only one Robin Ottolini, I gotta tell you. And we talk about F-150, of course, the viral sensation that blew up on TikTok and is shipping to radio. I think it's actually already shipped to radio and is climbing the charts as we speak, which is pretty monumental as well and pretty mind-blowing. You know, lots of fun here. We really get to know Robin. I think she got signed to Warner, and I think a lot of people were probably like, who is Robin Ottolini? I don't know. I didn't know until this conversation we really got to know her. And I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of Robin. You know, I think people are starting to know who she is. She's starting to get around. People are really getting the picture. But this is going to seal the deal for you. This is going to make you a Robin Ottolini fan. Guaranteed. Let's go. Let's dive in.
Just put it on the record. So we got into Nashville last night, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Flew in. Do you have any friends here? Like, this is what I want to know. Like... You've got the label
friends.
You've got the label team. Who do you know in Nashville? Like, do you have buds?
I do have buds. I have Canadians that are down here. James Barker Band's down here that I actually know in person. They're lovely. My friend Allie, who I've written with but never met in person, is down here. Just like Instagram friends. You know when you like follow songwriters and then they follow you and you're like, oh my God, I love what you do. And then you're just like Insta friends. So I'm going to meet a few of those tonight.
You're meeting the Insta friends.
I hope so. What if they don't want to hang out with me?
Well, because you know what's funny? Like, I feel like normally in Nashville, like everybody who gets signed, you kind of know who's going to get signed before they get signed.
Do you?
Typically, yeah, you do.
Okay, I don't know anything.
You know what's on the rise. Like, typically you predict what's going to get signed, and when it gets signed, you're like, oh yeah, I knew that months ago.
Okay.
But when you got signed, I feel like everybody in town was like, oh my God, who is Robin Ottolini? Is it Ottolini or Otto?
Otto.
It's Ottolini.
So picture like F-150, like automobile. Ottolini.
Automobile. Ottolini. Robin Ottolini. Nobody had any idea who Robin Ottolini was.
Yeah.
Were you coming to Nashville? No, you've never really been
here.
This
is my first time in Nashville as an artist. I've come as a tourist.
Okay.
And an assistant.
And who? Wait, and as an assistant?
Like my friend was recording down here and she just needs somebody to drive around. Because her fiance was busy.
Who was that?
Her name's Leah Daniels. She's from my hometown.
Leah Daniels. Do you? I know of Leah Daniels. I do not know her.
She works with like Sam Ellis and Karen Kazowski and all them.
So you've come down as an assistant, as a tourist. This is your first time as an artist in Nashville. Are people like looking at you a little differently, or you don't know? You've never been here.
No idea. You're the third person that I've met in Nashville.
Are you serious?
Well, because I started, well, like maybe not the third person, but like the third meeting of the day.
I'm honored. Okay, here's what I want to know.
Okay.
Your newest release, Tell You Everything.
Yeah.
What was happening here on the label with TikTok with this whole thing? It was supposed to come out on a Friday. And you and your team were like, no, we're putting this out within the next hour. Who, what happened here? Do you come up with this and then do you drive your label crazy? Like, what's the story?
Me and my managers come up with these things. I have two managers who produce the song and manage me, and they're absolutely lovely. And they're just like, Robin, you love to break the rules. Let's just put it out a day early. And I was like, I want to put it out a day early. And we're like, let's ask the label if we could put it out a day early. And we could. So,
but they got it out like within the hour.
Isn't that amazing?
And
science.
It's not, because I work for a label, it's not that easy. You have to deal with distributors. I guess Warner, you know, they have that all built in.
Yeah.
It's really a pain in the ass, Robin. You're putting them through the hoops.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they saw it coming a little. We were like, hey, we don't want to wait. And yeah, they went through the hoops. They're amazing.
Does that break down the barrier? Do you think that creates this relationship with your fans of like, look, I'm doing this for you first. I want to get you the music.
It's like, you know me, Zach.
Does that, like, why do you do that? What's the point of it?
I feel like I've been waiting. I wrote that song back in, like, February, recorded a month later. And I recorded it in lockdown in, like, the first 2 weeks in my own home room. And then, it's been sitting there. And then I was going to release it in the fall. But then all the energy started happening around F-150. And we wanted F-150 to keep having its energy. So it was like put on pause. Tell you everything was put on pause. And I just didn't want to wait another day. People have been asking for it for a while. What's the difference between a day?
You've got to give the people what they want.
Yes.
But it's fun when you're like, guys, I'm giving this to you now because I'm not into this corporate label, whatever. I'm in it for you. I'm giving this to you now. I think the fans appreciate that.
And a huge thing is I feel like, at least on TikTok, when I announced my signing, people are like, don't sign with labels and blah, blah, blah.
Is that what they said?
So many people say that. But like Warner Music Nashville is like the best. They're very chill. They love me for who I am. They don't like try to change me. And they're very supportive. And I think that shines through with an early day release too.
I agree. Would people give you trash for the blue check mark on TikTok? Because wasn't that also something early on?
Yeah, I have like 200,000 followers and people are like, why are you verified? And I'm like, I wish I knew. I'm like, I'm a nobody. That's how I answer.
They get mad at this.
They get so mad. They're like, why are you verified?
So what do you see on your TikTok feed? What kind of content are you fed?
I see singer-songwriters, so like people who write songs. Okay. I see comedy. Do you know Call Me Chris?
No, who is Call Me Chris?
Oh, she's great. She's like, she does like a bunch of different characters, but like she plays them all and she does like little skits and it's really funny.
Comedy.
Comedy.
Singer-songwriters. Yeah. And any of like the Sway House, Charlie. None of that. All that. I don't know what that says about
really? It depends what you like and comment on. And then the algorithm will make your algorithm.
But you know something?
Better.
I don't like or comment on anything, but I see all like Josh Richards, Addison Rae. That's all I see on my TikTok.
They've never come up on my For You page ever.
Honestly, they're really annoying for the best. But you are like the Gen Z country artist, which is maybe, is that annoying to say?
I'm a millennial.
You're borderline because I think I know
that person who doesn't know who she is.
You don't know who you are. I know how old you are, but I don't know if it's public record.
I'm 25.
You're 25.
Yeah.
I think that's right in the middle of
Gen Z and millennial.
I think you connect with both.
I'm on the cusp.
But I think you kind of have Gen Z energy. You're very like fun, authentic. You always talk about authenticity, which is a very Gen Z vibe.
Thank you.
I think you're coming on with Gen Z energy. You're like the Gen Z country artist.
I'm like a little bit of both. I'm like, yeah, I come on with like be yourself and be real and therapy and everything. But I also have like the millennial. I didn't grow up with social media and I didn't grow up with TV or anything. So it's like, I'm on the cusp.
So you grew up with no internet. This is like a thing.
Like dial up.
I
could not do, everyone else was watching YouTube videos. I had nothing.
But like I wanted to get into music because I saw concerts and music videos and I was like, I could visually see music, but you could not see that.
All I had was country radio.
You had country radio and you were just like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Until what? You went to see Nickelback, right?
That was my first concert.
That
was
your
13.
So you go see Nickelback at 13, and were you already sold? Well, because I know you're a big Diamond Rio fan, right?
Diamond Rio.
So like that got you into country music?
Yeah, like that was on the radio when I was like 3 years old. And my dad had like the tape cassettes that he put in the truck, and it's like, we made it in the middle. And then I didn't know what that song was called, and I always like loved it, but I never knew. And then finally in like high school, my great aunt had fast internet. So I listened to it on the YouTube there. And I was like, I found it.
But what is it? Like, I'm so, is this like a tribe in the middle of the rainforest that just is isolated? Like, what, like, did you know about, you had to have known about the internet, this thing that you were missing yes. out on.
Oh, I did, because my school had internet.
So you would use it in school.
Yeah. And play Miniclip.
Of course. Yeah. Everybody's playing Miniclip.
And like a lot of YouTube was like banned. Like, you know, when it's like parental control, they did that at school. So you couldn't really watch YouTube that much.
What was your game on Miniclip? I'm trying to remember what those games
Minecraft,
were.
Minecraft, or no, mine. The miner one, and you'd mine down, and then you get the gold. And like the farther down you get, the more red it gets, and then you get to hell. And
I know exactly what
that devil,
is.
And then you're going to battle the devil.
There was also a platypus. Did you ever play the game Platypus on Miniclip?
No.
Everybody, it was, you were a little platypus.
The dirt bike game.
The dirt,
where you flip the truck.
I love the dirt bike game. That was, this is a real throwback to like my middle school days.
Yeah, my friend actually, my friend Lydia, she's a songwriter too. She's from Quebec. And, she was playing Miniclip when we were on FaceTime together. She's like, oh, whoa.
It's still there. You can still do
she
it.
She was playing Bubble Trouble. Do you remember
that? That was classic. Everybody played Bubble Trouble.
I was like, I forgot about that history.
Okay. But so you know about this internet thing, but you don't really feel like you're missing out.
I felt like I was missing out because I remember it being like everyone knew the music before I did. Like, because
really?
You find people on YouTube or like. We didn't have MTV. Like, all I had was Disney Channel. So I had Hannah Montana. Shout out Miley Cyrus. You changed my life.
It's big.
But yeah, like, everybody had, like, MTV music videos and CMT and everything. And everyone would watch, like, country music. And yeah, all I had was radio, literally.
Why were your parents just not into Wi-Fi? Or were you just so isolated?
We were in, like, yeah, we're, like, down in, like, a valley. So, like,
so you
the internet
get
just
it.
Wouldn't come.
Even
yeah.
if you want, like, you try
even
to get
now
it.
Now I have slow Wi-Fi. I can watch Netflix, but, like, Zooming, I'm, like, always nervous.
This is horrible. But do you have cell service or how do you do anything?
Yeah, like, all my data gets used up because I have to, like, Zoom with my cellular data.
Or do you go to, like, your manager's house? They have to have Wi-Fi, right?
No, he's also in the country where
what is
you
with what is happening here? This is unbelievable.
I'm from Canada.
This is, what is, it's not that, though. I don't think that's it. Wait, so I'm trying to figure out this. So you put out the song F-150.
Yeah.
And it totally blows up. And everybody's asking about this. But what, so like a handful of labels called you, right?
Yeah.
All Nashville labels call
yeah.
you?
Yeah. No Canadian label reached out.
No Canadian label.
It's like I didn't even exist to them.
They didn't even exist.
They didn't even care
Robin
about
Adelini,
me.
Robin Adelini yeah. was not on their radar. So all these Nashville labels reach out. And what, they email you or how do they get in touch? Or they DM you?
They DM, they email, they figure out a way to get in contact. Rohan from Warner Music. Actually, the first person to message me was BJ Hill from Warner Chappell. And
yeah.
he said, hey, I messaged the A&R at Warner Music and he's going to send you a message. And then Rohan slid into my DMs. He's like, hey, I'm A&R from Warner Music. And then he slid into my emails. And I was like, is this fake? Like, you know when you get that? Like, I remember
yeah.
getting DMs from, like, an artist or two, and I'd be like, this is a robot. And then you see the blue check mark. But, yeah, and then I just sent it to my
How
managers.
Did you know? Because, you know, something kind of weird happened to me yesterday where someone very random called me, and I was like, this can't be real. I was like, this actually happened yesterday. Someone crazy called me and asked, and I had, like, a 10-minute call with them, and they had to ask, and I was like, there's no way that person actually called me.
Yeah.
But that, but I was like, this has
but
to be a
it
fake.
Real?
It was real. But I was like, this has to be fake. There's no way this person is calling me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had to vibe it out. I'm still like, was that a dream? I'm still vibing with it.
And that was a phone call. So like,
that was a
it's
phone
only
call.
A voice. It's not like you can see a
but
face
you're
or
getting,
creep the profile.
You're getting like, so Rohan, and are you realizing that like Rohan signed Ingrid Andress? And like, are you putting this
and Dan
together?
And Shay.
And Dan Shay. Like, are you putting this together and you're going.
Oh. I Googled him.
You Googled him. And he's got
again,
this career.
Again, I'm in Canada. The thought of Nashville knowing me was like. No,
yeah, you have no friends here. Well, you don't know anyone.
It was
anyone
just a non-existent thing. So I was like, yeah, who's Rohan? I'm like, oh, hey there, buddy. Nice to meet you. So yeah, no, I had to learn very fast who everybody was.
So but what's the, so do you meet with like Rohan and then do you meet with Chris Lacey and then do you meet with other labels? And then yeah. do you get on the phone with Espo or like what happens? Like,
oh, it was a lot. I met with a few labels. I got a few phone calls. I mean, yeah, So I just jumped on Zoom with like the A&R and then the A&R wanted me to meet the whole team. So that happened with a few labels all in the span of a couple of weeks. And then I had to make a decision. And I got it down to three labels and I went with my gut because that's all you can really trust in this world.
That's a Robin Adelini signature move is to follow
I trust
the
my gut.
You have to follow the gut. And meanwhile, this is very scary because your Wi-Fi is cutting out on all these Zoom calls.
Literally, my Wi-Fi died because like I had so many Zoom
You're
calls.
Like, here I am about to make it in the music industry and my Wi-Fi is going to ruin my opportunity because I'm not going to be able to connect.
It always tried. My whole life it tried to ruin my life and it never did.
It never did because you're stronger than that. So wait, so you sign with Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard you say that Chris Lacy said something about
Where
a song
that
she, you said that she knew that. What did she say? That your song, you record the
she
vocals
knew how
first
it was produced, yeah,
and wrote everything around it.
Yeah.
And that really, like, what that
it
touched
blew
you or
my
that blew,
mind.
Blew your mind.
Just that, like, she heard the song. She said she can kind of see songs in her mind, like, image-wise. And she was like, your voice was like the train and the production was the whole, like, train following behind, like, the engine. And she's like, did you record the vocals and then they produced around it? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. She's like, yeah, I can hear that. And I was like,
she knew.
Yeah,
that's
she knew.
Actually amazing. I don't think I don't know.
My
how you
producers
do that.
Love to do that. They'll give me like the bare minimum and they'll be like, sing it how you hear it and we'll produce around you.
That's always the method.
That's been the method so far, so good.
So not to digress, but your managers are also people that everyone's like, who's managing Robin Odelin? Like nobody
like
knows.
They're my friends from Canada. Yeah.
So these are just your musical friends.
And they produce my songs too.
And they're players. Like isn't
and
Mark a drummer and Eric is a guitar player, yeah, right? So they're in your band, right?
Yep. They're in my band. They'll go on tour with me and everything. And it's great because my producers are my brand managers. So like they know every single part of the song. So it's so easy for them to be like, hey, Dave, actually play this note and this note and this note. So like the whole band knows exactly how they're supposed to play.
How is it with them navigating Nashville? Have they been to Nashville or do they know Nashville?
They used to tour. I don't know if they've ever. They must have been to Nashville as like touring artists. Wow, I should ask them more questions.
Well, I was talking last week with a manager who was talking about how when she was breaking in with her artist that she relied on the label and the agency in Nashville because she was not from Nashville also.
Yeah.
So she relied on her players around the artist to help, you know, in town. And she was able to work with the artist, get the music right. Like, is that, like, do you find you rely on your in-town partners to work on everything and they're with you on the brand, the TikTok, the music, they can focus on those elements. Is that what the relationship is, would you say?
100%. I think so. Like even Mark said, he's like, the label's got the contacts. They'll put us in the room. He's like, the most important thing we can focus on is the brand, who you are, what music we're going to put out. And they're very hands-on with all that. And that's what they're good at. And they're like, let the label figure out how to get you in rooms. And that'll be it.
Do you like, I don't know of another artist whose managers also are the producer and in the band. I'm sure it's out there.
I wonder.
But I can't think of anyone. Do you like having that relationship? That
I think so. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh, like
what is happening?
You know, like
here?
So many hands in the dish that it's like, whoa, is there like an outside thought? But I like it because the brand, like they know the brand, so they know exactly what, like if lyrics need to change, they're like, yeah, this fits your brand better. There's never any like emails between manager and producer, like the manager is the producer. And I feel like it keeps the brand very solid.
And they know that they can push you, like,
push me.
And they'll say, like, hey, we need a line. We need a better line here, and you come up with "You're more fun in bed without you," or "It's more fun in bed without
you."
In it, right?
Okay, a song that I just recorded that I'm not gonna say when it comes out.
It's in an hour. It's in 30 minutes. We're gonna drop it with the label, and it's gonna be out.
Surprise.
Yeah.
No, it was like there's a breakdown part, and it just has like the normal lyrics that I think anybody would think of. And then Eric was like, "Hey, Robin, I know we're recording it tomorrow. Could you just write new lines? Because I feel like you can say something else." So I like recorded them on a voicemail and said, "Hey, is this good?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's perfect." Came in, recorded it, and then they sent it to mixing the next day. Like, that's how spontaneous they are.
You're changing it in. But are you the kind of person, like, I always feel like if I'm writing something, like, I have to write it, and then I have to step away from it, and then I come back to it, and I go, do I still like this? And you're changing lyrics, and you're not sitting with it at all to know if the new lyrics are better. You're just trusting.
Trusting the gut.
Trusting the gut.
Yeah.
That and we're going, like, to put this out.
Yeah, I guess so. Now that you say that, I'm like, shoot, should I have thought
about
it more?
Did we choose the right lyrics?
But I think a huge thing, and something me and my managers always talk about, is like, I feel like people wait for perfection before releasing things. They're like, I don't want to release my first single because I don't think it's ready yet. And a huge part of the brand is, who cares if it's ready? Put it out. It's who you are in the moment.
Don't let perfection be the enemy of good.
And I'm a huge perfectionist. And I
are you?
Oh, yes.
So this seems very counterintuitive.
I know. But the thing is, I'm such a perfectionist that I'll mull things over and I'll never even know the right. Like, what is perfection?
When you put out F-150, did you think it was perfection?
No.
Really?
Because, nothing's perfect. I'm learning this in therapy.
But did you think that it was one of the strongest things you would put out? Like, did you feel confident in it? Or were you like, we'll put it out, we'll see what happens?
I mean, I'm always confident in the music I put out. I'm like, I trust myself. I think my mind does what it does, and I have no idea what it's doing, but it does it. Obviously, you look back and you're like, dang, I wish that line was different, or dang, I wish I did this different. But in the moment, you're like, screw it. It's good.
It's out.
It's great.
We put it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and I mean, look at it go.
Look at it go. It's running.
What if I mold over those lines more?
You might have ruined the whole thing.
It would have
ruined everything. Do you think about that? How, like, upload this? What if I did a minute later and some other song got on the algorithm?
Can you imagine?
And then I'd be here with someone else doing this. Does that keep you up at night?
No.
No, you can't think about
I'm like, that. What do I say? Timing is everything. Just trust the timing.
Trust
the process.
You've got to trust the timing.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So you sign the label deal in quarantine.
Yeah.
And what happens? How did they start working with you remotely?
Zoom.
It's all on Zoom.
Yeah.
And what do they say? They go, okay, now we've got the song that's blowing up. We've got to put gas into it. So we shoot the music video.
Yeah.
They start introducing you to people. Like, what happens? Like, what's the process?
That was it. It was like, hey, let's go. We want to go to radio. So we're going to need like a virtual radio tour. Can you film that? Film the music video, film an acoustic video, film an acoustic recording. And it was just like, go, go, go. And if you know my managers, they are like,
I don't know your managers.
You don't.
Nobody knows your
knows
managers.
My manager.
Nobody has any idea who they are. So, but tell me, if we did know them, what?
They are some crazy mother truckers, and they can flip things on a dime. Like, they can make something happen out of nothing as if it's the easiest thing ever. So the label's like, hey, we want to shoot a music video. It could probably be out in like December, but we want to meet it before Christmas. And Mark says, oh, we'll get it done by November 1st. Don't worry. And it was like a month. And usually you need like a month and a bit for music videos. And Mark was just like, nah, watch us do it. And like, we flipped it around. It was ready to go and out. And the label was just like, who are we working with?
Okay. I've got a lot of questions about this music video.
Okay.
First of all, were these your friends in the video, or who's in the video?
Yeah, it was friends.
Your friends. Mm-hmm. So you tell, and is that like, was that your house? Is that your parents' house?
That was Mark Schroer's house. So my producer slash manager, that's the house I recorded F-150 in.
There's going to be it's an iconic house. So you tell your friends, we're shooting this music video. You have to come on over. How many friends? There were like 20 friends there.
There's five.
Oh, really? It was just five.
It was five of us.
So, and then what? You're like, you knocked the cake over.
Yeah.
And then
I threw it. It hit walls. We had like a plastic sheet to catch it, and it like splattered all over the walls. And I was like, my bad.
Can't do anything right here.
I'm a loser.
So wait. So, and then this truck thing, everybody's asked you about this blowing up truck.
Yeah.
Because this, and I was watching the behind the scenes footage of this. And they did like a test blow.
I was like, oh, and, can I swear on this? Oh, shoot.
Well, you know, hold on. Let me divert for a second, because I want to ask you something. Because I've listened to a lot of your interviews, and you like find the most clever ways to like go around. You'll say like schnauzer cow or something.
How do you know so much? Somebody call the police. Who is this man?
No, but is that your line?
Schnauzer cow. Back in elementary school, I thought swearing was the worst thing you could
do. But you curse in your music. This is like, you divert cursing more than I think anyone I've ever listened to. But then you curse more than like any artist in country music.
Well, see, the thing is, so yeah, in elementary school, I'd make up words. So like, schnauzer cow is for S-H-I-T, and fudge knuckles is for F-U-C-K. Mother truckers and stuff like that, because interviews, you can't swear on radio, and I've always grown up knowing that. So
you can say this, you can say whatever you want. It's low standards on that's people are gonna think
I'm so sorry.
That's too much. Wait, but okay, so but like, if you're hanging with your friends, you're not saying schnauzer cow necessarily.
No, I usually swear.
You're going to say
depends
shit.
Who I'm with. If I'm with family, I'll swear. If kids are around, I'll do the schnauzer cow. Like, I'm pretty aware of my surroundings.
You censor yourself.
Yeah. My poor grandparents probably wish I censored myself around them, but I just feel so comfortable.
My grandmother had the biggest potty. People would always say, like, speak like you would around your grandmother. And I would say, well, like, holy fuck. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what she would say. So wait, so how do you do this truck thing? How do you blow this up?
We had a pyro team.
So you have to hire someone to do this, right?
Like, yeah, it was like a team of 5 people.
And you get the truck.
Got the truck from a scrap yard.
And I want to ask you something else about
this. Because a lot of people were mad that I blew up a perfectly good truck. There was nothing in this truck, folks. Stop yelling at me.
People yelled. That's what people were mad at.
That was huge. Yeah, that was like my most liked video. But like, it got so much attention because all the comments were like, how could you blow up a good truck? And I could have used that and rich people doing rich people things. And I was like, I am poor, but go off, sis.
But so you bring in a pyro team. You get this truck from a junkyard.
It was all professional.
You bring in the team. They put what in? Like,
they put like pipes, and then they like cut the pipe so there's like little slits in the pipe, and then they'd run propane through it, and then propane would go and the match would hit, and then boom.
So why did they said you only had one shot to do this? Why?
It was,
but you did it twice.
They had a test shot, but like it was just like a test shot. So like they didn't do big flames. They were just making sure a flame would catch, and then they put it out immediately. And then for the actual music video though, they couldn't like make the flame super big and then bring it down again. So if we're going big flame, it was like a one take thing.
And so you do it.
No reaction.
First of all,
I'm a professional.
First of all, the timing of it was so nailed. It was
Thank
so
you.
Nailed when it comes in and the thing blows up. And then you're like singing, dancing, and were they blasting the song on a PA so you know what to do? Or
yes.
Because I'm trying to understand how this works. So they're blasting the song. The cue comes.
Yeah, the cue comes. They have to press the button 5 seconds before it blows up. So they counted, and like whatever word it was their single. They pressed it, and then 5 seconds later blows up when it's supposed to.
5 seconds later, it blows up when these guys are geniuses.
They thought about it. They were thinkers.
And then
thank
you.
Goodness.
And then you put it out. And then do you see it right after? Like, how excited were you to see
that I did it right?
You did it right.
I was very excited because they all thought I was gonna like react because it was a huge sound. It was like
it was really loud. I saw the behind the scenes video. It was really loud.
Yeah, that popper test was like half the sound of the real thing.
So how much effort did it take to not?
I or was just like, I'm really good at like focusing. And I was like, just sing the lyrics and ignore everything else. And so I just like put all my energy into the lyrics and ignored the huge flame behind me.
You were like, this is either going to be an iconic moment in my career
exactly.
or nobody's going to see it. And we'll say, well, that was fun. We did that.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. When you're putting out like this next music, is there pressure to live up to the F1? Like, do you feel like you have this pressure to live up to the next record?
You can say that. I put pressure on myself again because perfectionism, but my managers like refuse to let me do that. Like, they're like, Robin, you are amazing at what you do. It doesn't matter if nobody listens. And they're like, what is a failure? And I'm like, if nobody listens, they're like, will you listen to it? I'm like, yeah, I think it's pretty great. And they're like, well, if you listen, is it really a failure? And I was like, no, I guess as long as I like it, who cares if anybody else listens? But yeah, I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself.
That is their pressure meeting the team at the label. You're like, we've met on Zoom. Are they going to like me in person?
I was terrified.
Have you met Espo yet?
No, the 3 girls here.
Yeah.
Or Taylor's not here, but Taylor picked me up from the airport, and then Victoria and Christy are the only people I've met from the label. Oh, and now Wes.
And does it feel like, you know, you're meeting your family? Like, is it just like,
it's just
great,
like,
feeling? It's great vibes.
It's like when I used to work in restaurants. It's like when you show up to the restaurant for the first time and you're like, hey, I'm Robin. And they like start to show you like, this is where we cry when we get yelled at by management. And like, that's who they are. They're just like, we are your friends now. Let me show you all the tricks and tips of the trade.
That, and what have they taught you anything or what?
Well, they also swear. And it's great.
Everybody swears.
And they say the same jokes as me.
Like, what's a joke?
So like if anybody's like, actually no, Robin, don't do that, I'm always like, well, I'll go fuck myself up the ass then. And somebody else says that. She says, well, I'll just go fuck myself.
I actually say that too.
And when she said it, I was like,
These are my people.
Yeah,
my
I was people. Like, oh my God, that's my joke. This is amazing. You say the joke. Same thing as me.
They stole my joke. Okay, wait. So talk to, for a second, talk to me about this Breland tour, which was just announced.
Yes.
Have you toured before? This is a month-long tour.
I have gone on like a small tour up in Canada with just an acoustic guitar, and I've done like the restaurant gigs.
Yeah,
I've never done
scene.
A full band tour before.
This is because I was gonna ask, this is going this to be full band. And is this going to be drums, guitar, bass, acoustic guitar, and you? Because that's what all these like.
Yes. Might miss one instrument of those that you named. But yeah, it's like a full band.
Full band with Breland.
Yeah.
When do you start prepping for this? Or what is this going to be?
Oh, it's crazy because my schedule is like back and forth. I have a gig up in Canada after this little run in Nashville. So I'm going to be practicing then and then doing that. So I'll have like a few practice shows before the actual gig, but Mark and Eric love to just make sure I'm show ready. So we're going to have tons of band practices before and just really get a show together. I'm not going to stand up there and sing. I'm going to stand up there and perform.
No,
Zach.
No, no. Robin, we're performing. Come
we're
on.
Performing.
Let me ask you this. How much do you labor over your ad-libs in your songs?
Barely any. They'll give me a
are
glass
they spontaneous?
Of wine. All spontaneous. They'll give me a glass of wine. They'll press record and they say, go at it, Bob.
And are they, do they call you Bob?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Rob? Robin?
Rob, Bob.
Bob.
Yeah, when I was okay. a kid, I used to be called Bob.
So they'll say, go at it.
Go at it, Bob.
And you'll say, you know, could you give
blah,
me
blah, blah,
$100?
Blah, blah. Yeah. And there was another one that was, could have left like your credit card though.
Could have left your
I was like,
card,
I still
though.
Have your credit card number. Is that okay?
That's it. That's the Robin Adelini voice. I said it correctly there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're doing the Breland tour.
Yeah.
We're prepping. We're going to Canada to play a show.
Sorry, it's not announced. I can't say it. Never mind. Sorry.
So who do you like? How do you know how to perform? Like, would you have you seen a lot of concerts? Did you go to a lot? Would you see
I
like?
I love concerts.
Like who do you? Did you ever see the Tragically Hip?
No. I wasn't I was
straight country all the way.
Yeah, like my parents didn't listen to rock or pop or anything. I found pop myself because I just love lyrics.
So who do you think is the best front person in country music?
I love Raylan. I love the way she performs.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen her perform before?
I've seen her perform once on the Warner patio during CMA Fest. This was maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
I don't think that was a great.
Have you seen her full band?
No, I've never seen her full band.
Yeah, yeah. You never trust an acoustic show.
You're shooting there. You're like, okay, but
whoa. I will stick up for her.
Have you seen her full band? So are you watching? Like, if I was you, and I'm not you, so I don't know. But if I was you and I was going on this tour, I would be watching like YouTube clips.
I do.
Of every live show. And I'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. What did they do?
Yeah.
What? And are you doing this? And like taking notes and like, okay, I got to say these things. I got to shout out the back of the room. 100%. How's everybody doing in the back? Like that's, you know, like, are you taking notes of these things that you're going to have to do?
100%. I'll tell you the whole shebang.
I want the inside scoop.
So like I look at artists, I go to festivals and country music concerts all the time and I'll
really?
Pick my favorite performers and I'll be like, this is great because of this. This is great because of this. I'll look at pop artists. I love how Lennon Stella performs because she's just very natural when she does it.
Another Canadian.
Yep. She grew up 20 minutes away from me.
Really?
I never met her though.
Oh, we never
Maybe
met her.
She should be my friend if she wants to. Anyway.
I think that's like.
She's got goats. I had goats. It was.
You've got to put this on the, you've got to make the label.
I'm manifesting it.
You're manifesting this.
100%.
Do you know the Stellas? Her parents?
I met her parents once. When I was like 17 and they were on like a red carpet and I was like, I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, pathetic.
I'm a loser.
Pathetic. That's horrible.
It's just a waste of space.
Okay, wait. So you're watching these videos.
Yes. I also have a performance coach. So I'll send him videos of people that I like how they perform. And he'll like, and we set up moments. We're like, hey, at this part of the song, be here, say this, do this. And we just want like the show to be memorable. So I get to He like brings in like the, hey, this is how you perform. And then I bring in the, hey, this is who I am. And let's like mesh them together. So it's like, it's me up there.
This is going to be, well, so when you perform, have you performed a lot then in Canada?
You've done
the restaurant circus.
Tons of acoustic.
But this is kind of your first time going out with a band.
First time touring with a band. I've done a few band shows. So like, I know the vibe of like practicing and making the show.
But how, yeah.
But like, I'm new, but I work hard. So get ready.
How much more fun is this going to be with the full band?
I'm just so excited. You know when you're up there alone and you're like, I'm just don't know where to look, and there's people.
You're gonna be
vibing.
You're gonna be vibing with your team.
Yeah. One of my band members is from my hometown, and we grew up playing at open mics together. And he's just like an amazing guitar player, and I'm just so stoked that he's like going to be a part of this.
This is a like this is a whole thing. You're bringing your friends up. When one rises, everyone rises.
Heck yeah.
You're going on the road. Okay, what is with your love of sharks? Have you always been into sharks?
I have my tattoo.
You have a tattoo?
Yeah.
I actually know someone else who has a shark tattoo.
Do they?
Right here. It's a scuba diver around a shark.
Mine's just a silhouette of a shark.
Is that your only tattoo?
No, and then I also have this tattoo. What is that? It says, I'm greater than my highs and lows.
No,
and
wait,
it's because.
Oh, I'm greater. That's actually clever.
Yeah, it's a type 1 diabetic thing. I'm type 1 diabetic, just like Ray Lynn.
Did you make that up or is that a thing?
It's a thing.
That's a thing.
Yeah, because like we have to handle our high blood sugars and our low blood sugars, and it's very easy to think that you're a number on a scale. And so it's like, I am greater than the number of my blood sugar.
I like that.
Thank you. I got it for my 5th diabetic anniversary.
Wow.
My 5th anniversary. And then I have a wave right here on my bicep, and it links up with my shark.
Wait, it goes all the way up your arm?
No, it's like right here.
Oh, so if you like tuck your arm in.
Yeah, if I do this,
it links up
with the shark. It's just like a wave.
Did that come after the shark?
Yeah.
So you get the shark and then you go, hey, can we link these together?
I got the shark in Thailand. It was a bamboo tattoo where they like jab it in. And then my friend did the wave when we were having fun in her kitchen.
When were you in Thailand? Because I know you spent some
2018.
Time in New Zealand. Were you in New Zealand?
Yeah, that was 2014.
You were there for like 6 months.
9 months.
9 months working as an au pair.
Yeah, and then I lived in a van for a bit.
Do you bring a guitar with you everywhere when you go to New Zealand?
I bought
one.
I bought one down there. I bought like a traveling guitar down there, and because the host mom was like, "Yeah, you should play guitar. My kid's learning." I did not have a good experience.
That's so annoying. Teaching the kid. You're like, I want to teach the kid.
Turns out I'm not good at au pair. Oh, I'm good at au pairing. She just, it was just a bad experience. Like me and the mom didn't get along. And then I lived in a van and then I used the guitar to busk to make money.
Duh. And then why'd you go to Thailand?
For fun. Yeah. I love to travel.
Let me tell you something. If I were to get a tattoo, I would want to do it at my hometown tattoo parlor, where I know the guy. I want to be able to visit him if something goes wrong. I don't know anywhere. I could just be out of my hometown. You trusted you just trusted this rando that he was going to do a good job.
I get really simple tattoos. Like I walked in for my
that who's going to fuck that up? Like that's so
exactly.
Simple.
Exactly. And like the shark's like a silhouette. Like it's not like anything crazy. It's just like a line of a shark.
Okay. It's like a doodle on in a notebook or something. Like
yeah, it's like fin mouth.
Yeah,
it's really simple.
And how into the, because the person I know who has a shark tattoo, she is obsessed with sharks, but she doesn't know how to swim, which I think is a little counterintuitive.
Now my heart is broken.
How serious are you about this? Like, have you dove with sharks or are you really into this?
I went to Hawaii with the F-150 guy and a couple waitress friends. And North Shore, Hawaii on Oahu, there is a company called One Ocean Diving, and it's run by a woman named Ocean Ramsey. She's very popular on Instagram. And Juan Sharks, which is her now husband. And they take 6 people out. There's 2 marine biologists that go out on the boat. They go about 3 miles north to open water, and they go to a convergence, which is a place where sharks will gather because of the currents. And I swam with 30 sharks free diving, just like flippers and a mask. And it was beautiful. It was 28 Galapagos sharks and 2 sandbar sharks.
So free dive. Did you see the movie My Octopus Teacher?
Yeah.
Is that kind of, that's what I picture you doing?
Yeah, that's free diving.
How do you do, like, I don't think I can hold my breath.
Okay, no, I didn't hold my breath. It was like more scuba diving and you like dive
down.
Oh,
you're scuba diving.
No, that's knuckles.
That's not
snorkeling.
Snorkeling.
Sorry.
So you're on the surface.
You're on the surface, and like Ocean will like drag you down with her because she's obviously really good. She'll bring you like 10 feet under the water.
Wait, so she holds your hand.
She like holds your hand and guides you down.
And you're holding your breath.
You hold your breath,
and you're like clearing your nose and like equalizing.
Yeah.
Right. And then
I can do that. I have my scuba license.
Do you?
Yeah, I got my scuba license in Thailand.
How often do you go?
Never. I haven't been since Thailand because like the world shut down.
But so what's the dream lifestyle? We're touring for a quarter of the year.
Yeah.
We're writing and recording for a quarter of the year,
which is already
let's
the
say
dream.
A third. I'm screwing up these fractions. And then in this last section, you're with sharks. You're yeah, scuba diving?
I mean,
you're traveling,
I would love snorkeling. To be on like the beach or traveling. I just love traveling. I love hot climates. I love the ocean. I love salt water. I don't really know though, because I'd also want to be with my people. And if my people don't want to go to the beach, then I'd rather be with my people.
Is that make or break? Are you like, do you, I feel like you would probably have to date someone who's into these sharks, who's going to travel with you to go snorkeling.
I mean, and, yeah, my boyfriend, I've told him like,
yeah, is he into this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I love traveling. The first place he wants to go is Iceland. And I don't care where I go. I just love new places.
You can do, can't you do cage diving with sharks in Iceland? Or am I wrong? Does someone just fall downstairs? Is that?
Yeah. And Victoria just looked at me going, oops, sorry.
That's why we should have closed the door.
Dang it.
I said there was going to be noise. There's always, it always happens.
It happens to us every time.
I've lost my train of thought. We were talking about
sharks and we're in Iceland. I don't think there's any scuba diving in Iceland.
You would know.
It's like mostly like the waterfalls on geothermal things and lights that I would be interested in. But like, yeah, I just love adventure. I don't care where we go.
But there has to be sharks.
I mean, that'd be
no,
fun.
We don't care. We
I
don't
love
care.
Marine life. If there's whales, maybe I think you can whale watch in Iceland. There's definitely sharks in Iceland. I don't know if they're the sharks you want to swim with.
How,
there's like some great whites out there because it's more cold water. Great whites go to the cold. There's basking sharks, which are harmless, but I'm still a little frightened.
I've always wanted to swim with sharks. I don't think I could do it though. I think I'd be so scared.
Go with them because like it was the
go
coolest
with who?
One Ocean Diving.
One Ocean Diving.
It was so cool though, because like sharks are curious animals and they will come up to you, and they're a huge like a respect thing. So you have to look them in their eyes.
It's respect, bro.
Oh,
it's respect.
100%. And there was a juvenile when we were diving. So juveniles, a thing about sharks is there's a hierarchy. So like the higher you are in the water, the more powerful you are. So we're on the surface, right? So a juvenile is trying to find its place in the colony. So it'll be more challenging than like an adult shark. So it'll come closer to you, be more curious and like hit you if possible. So when the juvenile would get curious, we'd have to group together at the surface. And then Ocean, I was lucky enough to be on one of her tours. She literally circles you and like pushes the shark away. It's like the coolest thing because she can read the behavior so well.
Oh my God. You've got to get to that level.
I do. What am I doing here? I need to be in Hawaii working with sharks.
We're wasting time. That's not what the label wants to hear.
Yeah, no. I love being here.
This is the place. One thing I love about Robin Ottolini is she is a new artist with a lot of music out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you discover new artists and they have like two tracks, like one track out. But you can actually dive into her catalog. And a lot of it is very strong.
Thank you.
And I also think that your production sounds great.
The boys
know what they're doing.
I love them.
Let me ask you this. When you signed to Warner, do you have a moment where you connect with any of the label mates? Does anyone text you? Do you get Ingrid's phone number? Is that part of the signing deal? Like, does Dan Shea call you and just say, hey, and do you like talk late at night? Like, have you interacted with any of the label mates?
They did give me, somebody from the label did call me. I won't say who they are because I don't want anybody else to be mad at them. But they did call me and I asked them questions like, what's it like to be on Warner? How do you feel that they represent you as an artist?
This is before or after you signed?
This is before I signed.
Before you signed.
Yeah. And I asked about other labels in town because I'm not from Nashville. I don't.
Yeah, you don't know. Nobody knows you.
I don't know anything.
There's no frame of reference.
And it's like when I'm looking from far away, I'm like, that label looks amazing because they have this person and this person. So it's very interesting to be like, you're a woman in country music. Look at labels who have women in country music and blah, blah, blah. And like Warner crushes it with women in country music.
Crushes it. They know what they're doing.
Gabby Brett, Ingrid Andress, Ashley McBride. The list goes on with Warner.
Yes.
So I knew that as a female, I'd be good here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but are you going to like track people down? Like now that you're here for 3 days,
I'll be like, Ingrid, drink gosh darn tequila with me, woman.
I think you've got to track down
Ingrid.
She's
going to be like, who is her?
This is okay. I think we've really said a lot here. Yeah. We've learned a lot about your love of sharks.
I love sharks.
I like how into this, like this is like a real thing. Like, are you going to start the Robin Ottolini Shark Foundation?
Well, I've loved sharks since 2006. I watched the Sharkwater documentary back when I was in grade 6. And that day I stopped eating fish.
Don't eat fish. You're the opposite of like a pisca.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I've not eaten seafood. I mean, I'll eat seaweed, but like I've not eaten shrimp.
You don't
nothing.
Eat sushi.
Nope. I eat avocado cucumber rolls. Does that count?
It's debatable.
Take it.
That's what. Okay. So, but no seaweed. But no.
Yeah, nothing. No, I'm just sushi. Like very passionate about it. Like, I think overfishing is an issue and like lack of regulation. So I'm not going to go to fishermen and be like, stop fishing. But I think government should definitely put in regulations to slow the fishing down. And Robin, I just don't want to add to the problem.
Robin's really attaching herself to a cause here. Let me ask you this. Adelini is such a unique country name for an artist.
There's, yeah, but like ballerini.
That's true, actually.
Because a lot of people tell me that. And
they rhyme,
like,
but they're not similar.
Yeah, hers is like very pretty.
But did anyone ever tell you, like, maybe if you want to do this, you should change your last name and come up with a star name?
I think like one person mentioned it, but like, listen to this. Robin Adelini. Like, come on, that
it
sounds
flows.
Epic.
What's your
Robin Adelini?
What is your what is Adelini? Where's that come from?
My parents were born in Canada. My dad's parents were born in Britain. And then the name is Italian.
It sounds like a type
Ottolini.
Of pasta. Like it sounds like a noodle.
Yeah. So like the name is Italian, but like we're very much British and Canadian.
And Canadian. Okay. Do you know they named Canada?
Do you know how they named Canada?
Yeah. Do you know they named Canada?
They named it.
Yeah,
how they named it.
Yeah. Do you know
it's
how?
From indigenous peoples. There was a Kanata, Kanata.
I always thought they just pulled,
so it was Canada.
They just pulled letters out of a hat. They went C-A-N-A-D-A.
No, yeah, no, it was an indigenous peoples thing. And right now there's a huge problem with indigenous peoples up in Canada.
Is there like a tribe of Canadian country artists that stick together? Because there's a lot of them. Megan Patrick.
Ooh, I wonder.
Tennille Towns. Also Tennille Arts.
I feel like they're all friends. But
you've
like,
got to break into this group.
Yeah, but I don't know what the vibe is in Nashville. Because, like, James Barker Band just came down and signed a
That's
deal
right.
with Sony. And they are from, they're, like, 40 minutes from where I grew up. They grew up in Woodville, and I grew up in Uxbridge. So, like, I've been to, like, a lot of James Barker shows, and I love them, and I write with them, and I hope they consider me a friend. We'll see. I don't know. Who else is down here, though, from, like, Megan Patrick's from Bowmanville, which is 15 minutes away from where I recorded my songs, but I've never met her. I've been in the same bathroom as her, and I looked at her. She's stunning, but I'm not one of those people that would be like, hi, I'm your biggest fan, because I think people would think I'm weird.
But now you've got all the cred in the world to go up to her.
What am I going to do, though? I just feel like she's just amazing, and I'd just be like, hi.
You've got to go up to her and say, you know, I'm Robin. I'm on Warner.
Love me.
Love me. She's on Warner Canada.
Yeah.
I think you now
we're
you,
like label
now you
mates,
have
kind of.
You're borderline label mates.
Maybe she's going to hear this podcast. See, this is what's wrong with me. I think everybody hates me. I'm like, she's going to hear this podcast and think I'm weird.
I'll send this to her.
Okay. Well, are you friends with her?
I work with her. Yeah.
Be like,
send her the podcast.
She doesn't even know who I am.
I think she does, because this is what I'm saying, Robin. Everybody is like, who? People don't know they don't know you, but everybody knows you. That doesn't make any sense. Like, everybody wants to know who you are.
I would be on, like, my first Zoom rights that were, like, set up down here. And, like, so, like, Nashville people and be like, yeah, everyone's talking about you. And I'm just like.
They are.
Who is talking about me?
Because, like, because most of the time people know who's going to get signed. And when you got signed, everyone was like,
who the heck is she?
And everybody's listening to the song. And everybody was talking about you. After it was announced, everybody wanted to know who you are. They still do. And now they're going to know. Now you're touring with Breland.
That's crazy.
You're here in town. Everybody's going to know who you are.
Yeah.
Megan,
can't wait to meet your name. I can't wait to meet you guys out there. Hello.
Megan Patrick is going to be starstruck in a bathroom to meet you.
No, she's not.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. She's just so confident.
She's very confident. Yeah, she's very confident.
I met her sister at like the CMAOs, which is the Canadian Music Association of Ontario. And her sister was really funny. And she's like, meet my sister, Megan. And then she disappeared in the crowd and I never saw her again.
She disappeared in the crowd.
She disappeared. She had bigger fish to fry. Her sister did.
I don't know anything about the sister. I can't tell you. Have we left anything out? Have we said it all? What's been unsaid?
I write all my own songs.
You do. You're a writer on everything. Yes. Would you take outside cuts, or you're opposed to outside? What if it was a really great outside cut? What if Chris Lacy just brought you the most amazing outside cut? That was a shark country song. Very weird, but it was very clever.
It's so hard to say because I love the songs I write and I feel like they're very me. And if somebody can write a Robin Adelini song better than me,
you would take it.
It's hard to say. I just like songwriting is like my number one. I always wanted to be a songwriter. I never realized that I could be an artist too. And it turns out I can. So like songwriting's like what I'm passionate about, like keeps me sane. So to not be a songwriter on a song kind of is like ironic to me.
Would you write anything that you would let anyone cut? Like,
yeah. My friend Lydia, she's got two singles coming out that I'm a co-writer
Lydia who?
On.
Do we know Lydia?
Lydia Sutherland. She just released her first single. She's Canadian. She's from Quebec. She's my BFF. We were FaceTiming this morning.
That's your...
She told me to like...
What did she tell you?
Use a hairdryer to dry my nails.
Were you doing your nails this morning?
Yeah. And they're already chipped. So
because of the hairdryer? I would feel like that would... Wouldn't that crack them or no?
Would it? It's like you tell blowing me you just air did on it.
I guess
good.
I know, of course it's not, because that's always what you
guitar,
do.
So one's chipped already.
From guitar playing.
Yeah. But the others look decent. It was like 10 minutes before I had to leave the hotel.
You were like,
I'm a mess in a dress, can't show up on time.
That okay, so
that's
Robin
Kelly Clarkson, sorry.
I got it. So Robin Adelini, she's here for three days in Nashville.
I'm here in Nashville till June 8th, and then I'm starting my radio tour.
You're here for a minute. Are you going to go out? Are you eating? Are you trying all the restaurants? Where are you going?
I think I'm going to go see Raylan play tonight.
Where's she? At Ole Red. It's her residency. She's doing the residency at Ole Red.
And Carter Faith and Eugene are opening up, and they are two of my Instagram friends that I want to meet.
Everyone in Nashville knows everyone. These are my friends too. You've got to meet them. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I love them. I love their music. So I'm like, I'm going to make this show. And yeah, my label's like, go for it, Robs.
Do you feel like you're friendly with, like, is it easy for you to make friends? Like, I feel like you're very friendly.
I'm like,
very personal.
I'm very like, I'm a loyal person. So like my core friends is a very small group, but like I'll go out with anybody kind of thing.
You'll go out with anyone, but you have your
type.
But
I'll tell my secrets to about five people.
You can't tell your secrets to everyone. Yeah. But you feel like you're confident in a room making friends. But do you feel, so you've got like extroverted vibes, but I think a lot of artists.
I'm a huge introvert.
I think a lot of artists who have extroverted vibes are like extroverted introverts, right?
Yeah. Like, I need like 2 days of no contact in a dark room with just Netflix. And then the rest of the time I'm like, hey, Zach, what's up?
Charges you to.
I need to charge. Yeah. If not, I become a huge B-I-T-C-H.
That's bitch for all those who can't spell. Just tell us what you're watching on Netflix, because we always like to know.
I'm watching Criminal Minds.
Okay.
Me and my boyfriend started from season one and we're on season four now. But Netflix has different stuff in America than Canada. So I'm watching Legacies, which is like part of the Vampire Diaries thing. I'm watching that.
How different is it? Is it really different?
I started it last night. Yeah. Oh, Netflix? Y'all have everything.
Do you have Tiger King?
Yeah, we had that.
Oh, we have that. Everybody has it. What does your boyfriend do? Is he in music also?
He's in the trades. He does HVAC.
Wow.
Yeah, trades is my thing. I don't think I would want to date another musician. I mean, we'll see what the future holds, but like, love. Yeah, I like somebody who does something different than me. I can already accomplish.
Were you dating him before or after you got signed?
Before.
So you know he's really in this for you, Robin.
Yeah.
He's not in this for the perks.
And it's funny because I'll be like, I got like a record deal. Like, I can do this and this. And he's like, okay, but can we just watch like Netflix tonight? And
He's not having unfazed. Any of this.
He's like, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care where you're going.
This is your guy. You got to stick with this guy.
He's amazing.
This is the most grounding person around.
Like, I will just start crying and he knows the exact same, like the exact right thing to say.
Do you think he's going to enjoy when you start walking red carpets, when you start going to these award shows?
I wonder. He's very quiet. Be into this? He's like introverted. He doesn't post on social medias or anything. And he sticks to his friend group. And so I'm like, I want him to walk red carpets. And he's like, I can't wait to rock a red carpet with you. I'm like, you'll do that?
Yeah, he has to.
Like, people take your pictures. You know that, right? And he's like, yeah, but I'll be with you and it'll be fun.
You can't go with anyone else. That's very cute. You can't go with anyone else.
I mean, I could go with my mom. Lorraine would have a blast. Where's the wine?
He's got to go with you. Robin, we've said it all. We've covered a lot here.
We have. You're awesome. This has been amazing.
Thanks for coming. Well, I guess I'm the one who came.
I mean, I came and you came. We're
both here. F-150, your new single, is out of radio right now. You're in Nashville, and then you're going out on radio tour, right?
Yeah.
And you're traveling for this, right?
Heck yeah. I did a virtual one, but I definitely, now that it's opening up a bit down here, I wanted to come down and like introduce myself in person and be like, hey, this is what F-150 is about, and really give people the Robin Adelini vibe.
How does Warner prep you for this? Because it's a lot of pressure to meet these tastemakers. Yeah. And do they give you any tips, or do they tell you, you be Robin? That's enough.
They definitely say, you be Robin. I'm definitely okay with meeting new people. I used to work in the service industry, so talking to strangers
is easy.
And making them laugh is like part of the gig. So it comes naturally to me, and they're like, just do you. And then if they have pointers, they can just give them to me.
Does it feel like now, like you've put so much work into promoting the song on socials, and it's done so well for you. It got you a freaking record deal. And now you're going on, you're kind of starting this all over again, the promotion for F-150. Is that kind of daunting, or you're like, bring it on, let's go. F-150 round two.
Bring it on.
Here we go.
Bring it on. I always say, as long as I did my best, I'm happy. So I'm going to do my best to promote this at radio and do my, you know, do the best I can. And however well it does is great, but I'm just going to go to bed at night, sleep well, knowing that I'm at every radio station. I shook all the hands.
Shook all the hands, kissed all the babies. F-150. You've met some of these people before on Zoom, but now you're going to be meeting them.
But I'm going to meet them in person.
Meeting them in person.
Because that's just different.
It's so different.
You need to meet people in person.
You got me. This, okay, so F-150 is going to be climbing the charts.
I hope.
And when it goes number one, we're going to have the number one party at the aquarium.
Okay.
To raise funds for the Robin Ottolini Shark Foundation. You heard it here.
Sounds good.
This is great.
Stream F-150. Request it at your local radio, folks.
You've got to request it on the local radio. You've got to request it. You've got to stream it. And you've got to follow Robin on TikTok if you're not doing it. That's really
Join
the place
me.
For
I'm pretty
prime,
funny on there.
Very funny. For prime Robin Ottolini content, you have to go to the TikTok.
Join me.
Where else can Instagram? Where else do you
Facebook,
hang?
Twitter. I'm trying to get into Twitter because I think I'm like,
I hate Twitter.
I'm witty. Like in the moment I can be funny.
Humbled too.
Thank you.
Witty.
You're
yes.
so right. I get it from my dad, but in the like thinking about jokes and writing them down, I'm not as good at. So I want to work on that. And I think Twitter's the place to do
it. Because I think your songs are very clever. You've got clever lines. I think if you just, put a little if you just worked it a little bit, I think
the chords in the brain to make it the switch and
I think
write
you
it on Twitter. Yeah.
This is very exciting though. F-150 going to radio.
Yeah, she's there.
This is very exciting. Okay, so everybody be tuning into your local stations. And I want you to picture a young Robin Ottolini tuning into her local radio station, hearing Diamond Rio.
Yeah.
And thinking to herself, I want to be a country artist one day. And now some kid.
I want to be that for that kid.
Some kid is going to hear F-150 on the radio and they're going to hear Robin Ottolini and they're going to say, I want to do that. And it's going to change lives.
Yeah.
This is why we have to send F-120 up the charts.
F-120? F-150.
Oh, yeah, F-150. This is why we have to send F-150 up the charts.
Yeah.
Because it's going to change a kid's life.
Please.
It's very important that we accomplish this.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For that.
F-150. I only said that once, right? I've been saying F-150.
Yeah,
this
you've
whole
been
time,
saying
right?
F-150. That's why I was like, is he making a joke right now? Is this
no,
so funny?
That was me just being dumb.
Is he being witty?
F-150. We've done it. Victoria, okay. Have we done it?
We did it.
High fives.
We did it.
Thank you.
Fun episode with Robin Ottolini. Actually, really fun. Really a big fan. Listen to some of her music on Spotify because it's really unique. I think it is incredibly original. I don't think there's really anyone in country music that is sounding the way Robin Ottolini does. I think she's a one of a kind. Big fan too. Super fun talking with her. I don't know what else to say. Check out the music. See her on tour. She's hitting the road. And I think you're going to be hearing F-150 on the radio sometime very soon if you haven't heard it already on the radio. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. The Zach Kuhn Show is part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network. We are proud to be part of the network. It's really a great network, actually. It's fantastic. You know what? I think that's it. We're out. Goodbye.